You're supposed to line up at the mics to ask questions or say something. You don't have to ask a question. Just nobody wants to say anything. I can't believe everybody in the audience agreed with that. So should we just, Debbie, should we just quit? Oh, here comes somebody. No, okay.
Thank you for an incredibly brilliant review, and thank you for mentioning Echo Art. One of the most important things I heard you say was, how can we, and I'm misquoting you, how can we recognize an important action if we don't have the theoretical underpinning? Seems to me that's a catch-22. Would you be willing to talk a little bit more about the relationship between action and the evolution of theory?
Well, not really. Sorry, Aviva. I pretty much said what I wanted to say without getting into theory and so on. I've just felt as an activist over these years that even though I really enjoy reading theory or some of it, I often find that it just ignores what's going on the ground, and I think there's become more and more of a separation between academia and activism. And I would like to see that change, and that's really...
Oh, hi, I'm Cindy Nemser, and I know Lucy for a long time.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I was part of the we call it Veteran Feminist Artists of America.
And also the editor of the first feminist art magazine.
Yeah, the Feminist Art Journal and Art Talk, which was the first book on women artists, actually. There actually was some other exhibitions of women artists, smaller ones that took place before yours. We still need a really cohesive, I mean, I should say complete history of that whole movement. Nobody can, you know, we need a lot of them because everybody was in different places at different times. But there was California, there was New York, there was Washington, different people were involved with different things. And it was very exciting. As you said, we thought we really could change the world and win the streets, as somebody once said to me. But I do have to say that I am one of the people who doesn't believe in gendered art in that way that every woman's art will show that she's a woman. I think, and I have written, that to me, feminism is the gateway to humanism, where everybody, it opens the world to any kind of art, and we women can do, at what a woman doing her art is a feminist action, and we certainly did open up content. And that was wonderful. And a lot of installation art and conceptual, although I have to say there were male conceptual artists. I mean, we have to give...
Oh, I didn't say there weren't. They were the ones I was hanging out with.
We didn't invent it. And one thing that I really find and still find painful is the use of, and it still is, used by some feminists of the C word. I don't like to say it because I feel like I wouldn't, if I were black, I would not like to hear the N word. And we don't hear anything about N word art. And that word, the C word, has still not changed in terms of the society, which is sad to say, but I've always felt that we could come up with something more creative than that word if we wanted to describe
just like I wish we'd come up with something more creative than the coat hanger for pro-choice things.
Well, whatever. As I have to say, I don't think it's a compliment, and I think we ought to just... I think those words ought to disappear from vocabulary. Anything that denigrates women, denigrates people of color, I think they ought to go. Put in my two cents.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
Hi, Lucy. I'm Carol Jacobson. And I'm just
wanting to take this moment in with everyone here to tell you how much your work has meant to me and how much your writing and your life have been a model for me and I know so many of us. You've been a pathfinder, and the activism... The activism that I do today, in large part, is because you've given me the courage.
Oh, well, I got the courage.
Thank you enough.
I got the courage from many people in this room. I
mean, yes, me too.
You don't do these things alone.
But you're amazing. Thank you.
Yes, Griselda.
Hi. We're all lining up just to say thank you very much. Thank you for your talk and for the kind of wonderful feeling which I got both last night and today going back over this remarkable moment that we've lived through. At the end of your talk, you were saying, and as somebody else has already said as well, there is a terrible need now to have a really profound history of what it was that we were part of. It's brings back the joy, the excitement, and like the last night, the video bank show, seeing the 1970 work. And obviously it was possible. We did believe we would change the world because we were part of so many different social movements. And there seem to be two questions I just want to put. The question of how would we form these kinds of coalitions and alliances now? The second is precisely the problem that we've just been discussing, which is how do we prevent this, in some sense, I think it's slightly caricatured division in terms of the theory and practice. I mean, as a kind of stalwart, old-fashioned Marxist who sort of probably lost her way in many directions and keeps coming back to this Marx idea that the concrete is there. We are all rooted in that, and whether we think theoretically or are activists, we are still being framed and shaped by this. And unless we get the ways to think through the complexities that face us now in terms of the state of capitalism, you know, the state of the world, the threats that pose us, the gendered threats, the very deep gendered threats, and one of the things I'm going to really throw amongst you is, you know, the adamant opposition to the war is not countered with an equal feminist analysis of the real gender dangers that are involved in the situation that is shaping up. Irrespective of who is or isn't in Iraq, the world we face now is a world in which we need feminist analysis of the issues that we face more than ever, and how will we bring ourselves together unless we go back and try and produce a really deep analytical analysis of what it was that happened and why it happened, on the basis of which we can then perhaps use that energy to face what looks to me like a very tough haul that will not make us feel quite so cheery, but we need that cheer, and thank you for giving it to us.
No, you are one of the people who's going to be able to do this more than I do, because bring the theory and the practice together. So I'm not, that wasn't much of an answer, but thank you very much for that, Griselda. I wish I knew how the coalitions were going to happen. I mean, I think, frankly, you know, we're always doing this, us older feminists, passing it on to the younger generation, but the fact remains that a lot of us are in our 70s, and We deserve a little rest here and there. So pick up the baton or whatever.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
Joan Snyder here. I just wanted to talk about a show of young women artists that I've been curating with my daughter. Just to give you a moment of history, 35 years ago, I began a series of women shows at Douglas College, which you probably all know about. Because we had no role models, there were no women teaching at Rutgers, there was just a dearth of anything for us to see. So we began those shows 35 years ago, and they just came up to the 35th anniversary last year. I wondered for many, many years now why they're still going on. You know, why do we still need women's shows? And I haven't been involved for... You know, I was only involved for maybe 4 or 5 years originally. But anyway, this past year, I curated the 35th anniversary show with, of all people, my daughter, Molly Snyder Fink. And if 35 years ago you had asked me, You know, would I be curating a show with my own daughter 35 years later? I would have said, no way. We would have no need for women's shows 35 years from now. And then, you know, would my own kid be an ardent feminist and involved in these shows with me? So we curated this show, and the reason I'm standing up is because I brought the shows to New York, and tomorrow night, Regeneration opens at Smack Mellon Galleries, and a week later, we're opening a drawing show at the Kentler International Drawing Center in Brooklyn. We have 18 young women in the show from 9 different countries, and Molly and I didn't curate it looking for people from different countries or different races, but we managed, that's how it turned out, just looking all around New York, we found kids from 9 different countries. We have 2 17-year-old black women who are making video, and one's made a video of living in a homeless shelter, growing up in a homeless shelter. So, you know, not one of these 18 women said, God, I don't want to be in a feminist, in a women's art show, you know. We didn't hear any of that. Molly's written an essay about why we still have to keep doing this, you know, and you'd have to read her essay, but she says things about women still aren't being heard, certain women's voices still aren't being heard. It's still important. And my essay, of course, questions the whole issue of why are we still having women's shows, why is it necessary? And, of course, I come up with the same conclusion that you do. Our experiences are different, our lives are different, our bodies are different, our, you know, our whole perspective on the world is different, I think, if you're a feminist. And so that's why I worked on curating this women's show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You mentioned the fact that collectives and collaboratives seem to be becoming more, for want of a better word, popular right now. But one of the things that strikes me is that a lot of contemporary collectives and collaboratives are actually pretty conservative. The model seems to be more the boy band than a feminist collaborative from the 1970s. I'm thinking of the Royal Art Lodge, for instance. That is, that they seem to be very depoliticized, and they sell incredibly well on the market. Wondering if you'd be interested in talking at all about the ways in which the market can actually appropriate what once looked like activist positions.
Well, the market's been doing that for a long time, and I remember arguments we used to have from the left, so-called political artists and so on, and, you know, well, we're not going to show at the Museum of Modern Art, we're just going to picket it. And then somebody said at one point, finally, hey, you know, it's our museum, too, we ought to be able to show in that place. And so there's that, too. I mean, there's a funny back and forth in the art world about co-optation and lack thereof and how we can be co-opted and not co-opted, we can show at places and not. But the collective thing, I'm not really that up on all the young collectives, but I've just been curating this show on climate change. And Stephanie Smith in Chicago did a terrific show called Beyond Green. And there were a whole lot of younger collectives in their temporary services, learning site, my mind is going blank, Future Farmers, Free Soil, and there are a million more. Those are the ones I'm talking about, and they really, I don't know how much they show. I don't really keep up with the art world that much anymore, I have to say, so I don't know what is shown where and who's co-opting who at this point. But I'm sure it's going on. It always has been. When we talked about boycotting the museums in the late 60s, you know, we knew there'd be a scab line around the block. So that never quite worked out, but the art market has never been my forte, my place of expertise, because I don't buy and sell stuff, and I have never been that good at analyzing the art market as such. I wait till somebody else does, and then I repeat that. Aside from that, I've found these young collectives that I've been working with, and a lot of them, as I say, I don't do email or the internet because I'm a stubborn Luddite and I live off the grid. They're out there, and I'm constantly being told, oh, look up so-and-so and look up so-and-so, and I do at friends' houses now and then, but I'm not an expert on it. But I think there really do seem to be a lot more of that kind of thing going on. Am I right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I know Faith Wilding, who was in the audience, is involved with it. I can't remember the name of it. Sub Rosa, yeah, is a feminist cyber collective or whatever. And there's just a lot of stuff out there.
Do you find, because of the ridiculously successful, as it were, market right now, do you find those groups are having a harder time making themselves heard? That is, people are so intent on what's selling that what actually is being made in a non-commercial context is actually having a harder time getting noticed than it might have done, say, in the mid-'80s when the market was collapsed?
Well, that might be, but I don't think a lot of these collectives are really aimed at the market. So I don't think they really, I mean, they'd like to make a living like everybody else, but I doubt if they give that much of a damn what's going on in the market and these insane prices. And I did see, I read Art in America because I'm still on the masthead and I get it free. So, but it's just incredible and ridiculous. And some of these people are friends of mine. I'm glad for them, but not glad for the whole idea. I think it's crazy. So anyway.
I'd like to add that, and Lucy, I do want to say that you've done marvelous things and achieved a lot and given a lot to the program, to the movement. And I don't want to say, I want to, you know, give you credit for all you've done. And I was just amazed. I feel like I'm Rip Van Winkle, because I was away from the art world for a long time. And I was amazed to find out what's going on this year. I mean, the Brooklyn Museum is opening the Elizabeth A. Sackler wing for feminist art. The wax show is coming to PS1 and then the Women's Art Museum in Washington. I'm guest curating a show at a gallery called Tabula Rasa in Brooklyn, which I included mainly artists from the 70s who I feel have not still reached their... They should be better known than they are, given the quality of their work, and also some younger artists to dialogue in a way with them. There are so many other women artists shows coming up now in February and March. The Feminist Art Project is... you can get that online. I did somehow get online. My husband taught me how. He's very good at mechanical things and, there are men who are terrible at mechanical things, so I'm not making it a woman's thing. My daughter's very good. No.
If we could, we could just have one question quickly,
yeah,
and then
sure.
Okay, great. All right. Do you have a question?
Oh, I think.
Right.
No, I don't. I was just answering the person who said, "How are we going to, get things going? What are we going to do?" And I think it's starting to be done. And it's coming from the art world, which is amazing, because I don't see anything in feminism in literary world or the theater world. There's no woman playwright right now on Broadway, and there's few off Broadway. I mean, I tried to do an article about women playwrights.
I wanted to ask another question following up on Griselda and the comments about collectives. Lucy, you had mentioned that that you weren't as familiar with the collectives today, but sort of in the spirit of your paper, talking about history and your own involvement with PAD and a variety of collectives. Can you talk about those collectives as models, both for, positive models for a larger culture, but also some of the debates and battles that you had within those various collectives?
Oh, God, that would take days. With hindsight, I remember primarily the good stuff. It was such fun. And, we hurt each other's feelings, we cried, we yelled at each other, we did all these things. But we really took the issues apart, and it was so marvelous to sit in a room of women, and somebody would say something, and somebody else would say something else, and then it would build, and then somebody would criticize it, and then they would move off to this direction and so on. I mean, I just know that for my own intellectual development, that was the most lively time of my life. I never found anything like that in the art world as such, although conceptual art is another one of my favorite periods of my life, and there was a lot of talk and a lot of attempts to... I think when you want to change something is when things really start happening. You can't just get together and talk forever without wanting to change something, but God only knows there's plenty to change, so I don't know, some people don't like collectives. I never thought that everybody should be in a collective or everybody should make feminist art or anything else. It's clearly everybody makes their own choices. But But working collectively is just so much more fun than working alone. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And, of course, you know, that's the way you change social structures, is you work with other people. You don't do it alone. So that's really it for me. I mean, it's not very detailed. But.
Thank you. Hi, thanks. Jacqueline Sishi, MA art history student. I wanted to refer to something you said about the... I wanted to refer to what you said about the undergraduate student and their relationship to the term feminism. It struck me through my undergrad that there is a sort of fear of association with the term from a younger generation, a fear of association with the term, or no need to snatch onto the term, which is very unfortunate. And I've, you know, obviously as a feminist, constantly wondered why that was and why that is at my peers and classmates. And I don't like to associate with this term. And I suddenly realized that maybe they associate the term with a specific time and place. And this came to mind with the idea of making historiography and making the history of this time that originated in the 70s. And I'm wondering, I remember in From the Center, you sort of had this foresight in the introduction where you said you didn't want this to be just one moment or movement like, you know, modernism or something that just is a fad and it gets it ends. And I want to ask you how you recommend that a baton gets passed on without having a finite end to a movement.
Well, again, it's not going to be me that makes that kind of thing. I mean, you can tell how rooted I am in the past. I mean, this was our moment, and this is what we did with it. But, you know, the next movement, the next wave, may be something entirely different. I mean, like in the 80s when the sort of retro punk scene came in, you know, some of us had a real problem with the kind of so-called ironic presentations of women that didn't seem terribly ironic because you had to be told, this is ironic, don't get mad, this is ironic. Oh, okay. You know, sort of. So, but so that, you know, that was that moment. And I have no idea what the next moment's going to be, but it's true. You think that the avoidance, I'm having trouble hearing you. The avoidance of the word feminism is because you think it was attached to the 70s and 80s or 70s or...
I'm just wondering whether or not if you personally envision feminism as a theory that crossed time. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. I know that it obviously does go on a universal level that doesn't have to be stuck to the 70s or time. However, I fear that it may be associated with the time and place, and I want to know a way to avoid that being stuck in a moment, and I guess...
I can't say it often enough. It's up to you guys to do something different. I mean, and if you don't want to use the word, I mean, it hurts our feelings when people don't want to use the word feminist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But we have thick skins too, so go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. And so, but I do. I mean, you have to look at all of these things. These are historical moments we're living through, and what Griselda was saying. And I hope you listen to that. I can't repeat it, but that's, you know, this is a moment, a historical moment, where different things are being demanded of women and so on. But let's face it, the equality part of it that we thought was going to happen in a decade hasn't happened yet. So, I mean, we're still, what is it now? The 59 cents per dollar is up to 75 or something. This is a big deal. Wouldn't it be nice to just have equal pay for equal work? And on and on and on. I mean, all the original thing, abortion is endangered, child care has never happened in most places. I mean, there are just a million issues, and they're the same issues we were fighting for then, and it's kind of frustrating, to say the least, to think we begged out on the streets again about a war, out on the streets again about corporate takeovers. But the world is very different, and you guys are the ones that are going to have to cope with this. So go for it.